Okay. All right, we're back again. We are back. We are back. And to everybody out there in audio world, I pretty much typically live stream all of these podcasts. So in the beginning, I don't play any type of music, anything like that, because I get a flag by Facebook or YouTube. So this is primarily my countdown. So I need to tell everybody that. So to those people in audio world who are not in visual world, that's why there's such a brief pause when these podcasts start, as I sit and wait for people to come on in. As they're coming in, I'm seeing them coming in. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at my computer. Shout out to Marva Sellers, Tanja Rochelle Gill. Thank you for joining me this evening. And now we are here. So I want to welcome everybody back to another episode of the LeVar Walker Daily Show podcast. And then I'm just going to cue in the music. Let me know if that music is coming in clear, guys. If you're out there in the world, how you doing, Marceline? I appreciate the love. What's going on, guys? Let me know if that music is coming through clear. Can you hear it? Can you hear the music? Is it okay? Is it awesome? All right. We're back. We're back again. Very clear. Yes, yes, yes. I want to welcome y'all back to the greatest podcast on earth. This is the LeVar Walker podcast show. I want to thank each and every. Is Spotty? Dang. Is Spotty again? How is my voice? He said it was Spotty. How is my voice, Kayak? Am I coming through clear? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I need to test this out for y'all to make sure. As you know, I'm a one-man show. I'm the producer, creator, director. I'm everything. Great. We're clear. Welcome back to another episode of the LeVar Walker Daily Show podcast. And we just gonna get right into it today. I just saw something in the news where our good brother Tyrese Gibson is suing Home Depot over a racial profiling incident in Los Angeles. So let's pull this up real quick. And this just happened maybe a few hours ago. So it says here, why are they showing? I just bought these shorts. They keep showing me these shorts. But anyway, so it says that Tyrese Gibson suing Home Depot over alleged racial profiling Karen incident in L.A. Fast and Furious franchise star Tyrese Gibson Wednesday sued Home Depot for civil rights violations, alleging he and two associates were the victims of racial profiling by employees at the West Hill store in February. The Los Angeles Superior Court lawsuit also alleges negligent hiring, supervision, and retention. Two of the 44-year-old singer's construction workers, Eric Mora and Manuel Hernandez, also are plaintiffs in the suit, which seeks more than $1 million in compensatory damages. The amount the suit maintains Gibson has spent over time at Home Depot. Gibson also seeks punitive damages. And so let's just see what happens. Gibson, one of the most recognizable Black actors in the United States, and his associate experienced outrageous discriminatory mistreatment and consumer racial profiling firsthand inside the Home Depot retail store in West Hills. The company needs to understand that there are consequences for discriminatory mistreatment. So let me see what this was. Gibson and the other plaintiffs are committed to doing their part to advance civil rights and put an end to the despicable practice of discriminatory mistreatment and consumer racial profiling at the Home Depot and by extension, all retail stores. Okay, so let's see what happened here. So Gibson and his workers went to the Victory Boulevard store on February 11th, where Gibson worried his fame would cause a distraction. Had his construction workers. He had his this Black man with construction workers pay for the items the three selected with his credit card while he went to his car, the suit states. However, Gibson returned to the store when the cashier declined to complete the transaction, according to the suit. The cashier gave no reasonable explanation other than repeating store policy and demanded to see a form of identification, according to the suit. The manager refused to speak with Gibson and the transaction was completed. only after a heated discussion with cashier, according to the suit, which alleges the actions of the cashier manager were racially motivated. I'm calling big cap on Tyrese. Listen, brother, pay your damn child support, man. Don't try to pull this slip and fall race card shit. You sent two Mexicans into the store with your credit card. The woman was doing her job. She was doing her job. Okay? You sent two people who weren't you inside of a retail store with your credit card. And I'm pretty sure this transaction was not a $50 or $100 transaction. This was a few thousand. And the woman said, no, I will not process this because we need ID. Nigga, that has nothing to do with the color of your skin. Damn. Quit pulling the race shit, Tyrese. We see you, bro. You wanted us to go protest when you didn't want to pay your baby mama her money, bro. Stop this shit. Stop it. Stop it. The Mexican is not you, brother. The Mexican is not a 6'2 black singer. The people are doing their job. This is a frivolous lawsuit, and it needs to be thrown out immediately. And it's in California, one of the most progressive states, okay? You can walk out of Home Depot with $900 worth of shit without paying for it, but all of a sudden, they're racist against are they racist against black people or was it the Mexicans? Who was it, bro? And everybody in Home Depot, every time I go into Home Depot, it's not like all evil white people in there like I'm in some type of movie. This is just stupid. It's frivolous. It's dumb. I'm calling Big Cap. Y'all can call me whatever the hell you want to call me. Yeah, the manager refused to speak with Gibson. The transaction was complete. The transaction was completed, Tyrese, because you walked your ass in there and it was you and it was your car. All right. The people are just trying to, nobody. Let me tell y'all something, man. Cause people don't get it. People don't get it. As a retail worker for 20 years, working at CVS, worked for Walgreens, worked for all these places. Okay. And you know, as a pharmacist, I did decent. Nobody that's working in these stores, first of all, most of the workers, about 98%, they don't want to be there, okay? They're just there because they're trying to provide shelter and food for their families, okay? This is bottom of the barrel shit, okay? So the last thing they want to do, the last thing these people are doing are waking up out of bed and looking in the mirror and go, boy, I'm going to get me one of these niggers today. I'm going to send them home. I'm coming to work where I'm paid a whopping $13 an hour to discriminate. Man, get the fuck out of here, Tyrese. Tell Tyrese to call me. Because this is the most frivolous, unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I want to call Cap now, okay? I'm not even waiting to call the Cap. I'm calling Cap on this just like I called Cap on old girl in Alabama who allegedly saw a baby running on the expressway. This should be thrown out, and Tyrese, you should be ashamed of yourself. You went in there, brother. This ain't got nothing to do with the people. This has more to do with you and what you're going through, and you want to bring your energy and your attitude, and you want to take it out on people. You can't do that, bro. You should just went in there, yo, I'm Tyrese, ha, 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 paid your shit, and left. California is one of the most progressive states ever, and if they pay you, brother, it's a come up. I don't believe these people are racist. And no, so I mean, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to buy this. I won't accept it. And that's that. Also today, Twitter was fined $350,000 after Elon Musk refused to give the U.S. government access to Donald Trump's Twitter account. I'm going to have to give the good brother Elon a round of applause for that. That means if he's refusing to do that, then he's refusing to give most of our information out to the government. So I believe, yeah, that's true, Dr. Dandridge. Going back to Tyrese, he did have a better chance with a slip and fall, because that is a bullshit ass. Oh, God. The discrimination suits just kill me. I have to read between the lines. And Tyrese said him and the plaintiffs, him and the two Mexicans that went in there, they have suffered shame, humiliation, and mental suffering. Right. So I'm sure that old poor white woman that's working there, I know they, even though you're a multi-million dollar celebrity, but this woman who makes $8, she totally shattered you. She hurt you in tears as you shed tears in your Rolls Royce and mansion. You couldn't take it. And this woman got to go back to a fucking hovel. Give me a break. But I want to get back. Twitter fining Elon. Well, Twitter was fined $350,000 after Elon refused to give the United States access to Donald Trump's Twitter account. I'm going to say Elon Musk understands the assignment. I think Elon is on a mission. I know a lot of people don't like it for whatever reason. You know, my analytical mind, what I see from Elon, we're talking about a guy worth $350 billion. I really think the man bought Twitter to give us some amount of freedom of speech. I grew up in a time where I was often told sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. These platforms, people say nasty things, okay? People say nasty things. And also a lot of these platforms, a lot of these algorithms cannot detect how black people talk just in context. So if I say, boy, get your ugly ass out of here, that doesn't mean I feel that you're an ugly person. That means this is a roast and this is how we talk. So they don't understand that. And a lot of channels and things were getting blocked. Comics couldn't say anything. A lot of that was going on. And I'm glad that Elon stepped up to change that narrative. And we need more competition, because with a lot of these platforms, the scary part about most of these platforms with Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Threads, Instagram, the scary part is most of these platforms, there are billions of people on them, and the platforms are controlled by 100 people. Like that is not good. So we need to have more, more platforms, more competition, so that people are able to freely express themselves, which is the bedrock on what the United States Constitution was founded on. So it's very, very important. And shout out to Elon Musk again for doing what he did. And speaking of Elon Musk, I just saw the new Escalade IQ. I buy older model Escalades. I don't buy cars new. I typically buy used cars. Every Escalade that I've bought, I've been buying Escalades, Cadillac Escalades, since I got out of school. I had that first one that was in the big time, you know, the Cash Money joint, the 03. I had that generation. I had two of the 07 generations, and I currently have not the brand new one, but the generation right before that. All of the trucks are spectacular, and they get better year over year. But now, Cadillac has introduced a new Escalade, a electric Escalade, and this particular Escalade is called the Escalade IQ. And I'm going to show y'all that real quick. Let's see here. Let me type that in. Let y'all check it out. It looked like a big ass. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the Cadillac Lyric, but this is what this truck looks like. So I'm going to show you a picture of it, because I can't necessarily show things that'll get me blocked or banned. So let's visit this. Let me visit this picture here. Let's take a look at this thing. Beautiful, right? This is a beautiful truck. Starting price of $130,000. It's called an Escalade IQ. And you can see it right there with the guy talking. It's a beautiful truck. Looks like a big Lyriq. I guess the Lyriq came out first so that they could make this. And as of right now, this truck is pretty much a prototype. Let's look at some interior pics. Escalade IQ interior pics. I mean, it's a beautiful looking car. The dash. I mean, let me pull up that dash, man. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that dash. Can y'all see that? Let me make it bigger. Let me put myself real small down there. Look at that dashboard, guys. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Look at that. So the whole dash, this whole dash is a screen that goes all the way across the truck. And somebody could sit in the passenger side, watch some TV. And as they're watching TV, allegedly the driver won't be able to see what they're watching so that they can keep their eyes on the road. Beautiful truck, priced around $130,000. And they're saying that it should be able to go 450,000 miles. And it's coming out in 2025. I'm going to say this about this truck. Do I believe that they'll be able to deliver on this? I don't know. I don't know. I have a Tesla. I particularly don't trust a lot of car manufacturers in this EV space. I think they need to figure out a lot of bugs, a lot of kinks. And I'm not too certain that this will have the dependability of a gas-powered, you know, Escalade. Beautiful, beautiful truck, though. Great level. All that shit is dope. But I don't know. I'll sit on the fence with that. I'll sit on the fence with that. I wouldn't really, like, dive into that because that's a huge... That's a big, big, big investment of 130 grand for a car. I mean, it's a big truck, but I'm questioning if they will be able to deliver at that price. I test drove the Lucid when I was in New York, and those are going for about 80 to 120 for the totally souped up model. Great cars, but I would like try to kick the can down the road to see that reliability, because a lot of them shits, them first generation joints, they just don't have it a lot of times. And you end up having so many bugs and kinks, and it's just so annoying to have to continuously go to a dealership to put your shit in the shop, even if you are under warranty. It's just annoying to do that. Moving right along, our good brother Wayne Brady, where did my screen go? Wayne Brady has come out as pansexual. I don't know if y'all heard that in the news or not, but our good brother Wayne Brady, Wayne Brady is pansexual. I don't really know what a pansexual is. I understand the LGBTQ community, and like I say, to each his own. You know, it's not my business. I don't want to fuck Wayne Brady, but I'm guessing the LGBTQ plus. So I'm guessing the pansexual will go with the plus. And this is very interesting. Let me see. He reveals he's pansexual. Let me get that off the screen. At 51, I would tell him to do his thing. We know who he is. Wayne Brady is pansexual, meaning he can have sexual, romantic, or emotional attractions to someone regardless of their gender. In an interview with People magazine, the comedian actor described it as bisexual with an open mind. Now, how open is the mind? Does this mean you can fuck animals? Is this, do you hump furniture, trees? What are we doing here as this pansexual? Being able to be attracted across the board. And I think at least where we are now, that is the proper place. I took pan to mean that I don't gotta be attracted to any of these people or types physically, but I could be attracted to the person that is there. He could be attracted to the person that is there. And this shows me that Wayne is struggling for work in Hollywood. And this is what actors have to do a lot of times when they're struggling for that work. You know, one thing to do is, you know, come out, is talk about our sexuality a bit. And hey, you know, who knows? You know, maybe you'll get more work. You've put yourself in the community. Congrats to him, though. Congrats to Wayne Brady, who's made himself you want to keep getting in entertainment. I think it's a benefit to a lot of entertainers to keep continuously getting into more and more marginalized groups. The more marginalized group you can be in, it's almost like the freer you can be, right? So it's like, Wayne is Black. He's pansexual, and we love him. We love him because he's attracted to any and everybody and animals and whatever there is. If there's a tree, he will fuck a tree. And that is what Hollywood is about. This is what Hollywood is, guys. This is what Hollywood is. And this is why my Black ass is in here trying to do everything alone and trying to own all my shit. Because, you know, I don't need, like, if you are a pansexual, why come out with that? Like, why? Just do your work. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is the purpose of telling that other than to get more attention, to get some light? All right? It's almost like you had to talk to the man. Hey, you know, Wayne, we're a little bit cold now. I can't get you any work. I don't know what's going on. I got an idea. I'm gonna tell the world I'm pansexual. Am I pansexual? And if anybody's offended, if any pansexuals are offended by me talking about this, I am pansexual too. Because whatever you offended to me talking about, I morph into that immediately, and you cannot deny me. You can't deny me. So, cool. Wayne Brady is pansexual, and you know, Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's not on television. Nothing's on TV. You're gonna see a lot of actors coming out. I won't be surprised if I see an actor marry a dog, you know, like we're in a strike right now. So a lot of people are hurting, money's tight, and they're going to do whatever they have to do in order to preserve themselves. And this is how this works. This is this game. It's a nasty game. It's a nasty game. And let's read a little bit more. Okay, mental health. He said he did all the therapy could. He was treated for love addiction, saying he had been looking for happiness in a slew of other people. Love addiction. What the fuck is love addiction? How is that an addiction to love? Like, we use these words and we just distort and just all kind of shit. As a human, your inherent nature and design is to give love and to receive love. Like, that is like the bottom basis, I believe, of humanity, right? Like that, you know, the joy, the happiness of life. And he was treated for love addiction. I love the way they changed these fucking words. Saying he'd been looking for having to slew up other people. Brady said he asked himself if he was gay. He said the answer is no. He said he had been attracted to men, but push those feelings aside because of how he was raised and the fear of how his sexuality would be received. So are you saying you're gay, but you don't really want to say you're gay, and you just said, fuck it, I'm going to be pan? I've always had wonderful community friends who are in the LGBTQ+, like we all have. People that I've grown up with in shows, gays, lesbians, later in life, my trans relatives, my niece, I've always had that community, but I always felt like a sham because I wasn't being forthcoming with myself. He thought nobody needs to know you were paying, bro. I wouldn't give a fuck. Now let's just see what this means. Pansexual people may form enduring physical, romantic, or emotional attractions to any person, regardless of gender identity. What the fuck? This is one of the several terms under the bi plus umbrella. I don't get it. I don't get it. So would a pansexual be like a trisexual? Like, is that saying you would try anything? Like, what is happening? So pan is all of the above. Pansexual, I would just say that's being E. You're E, which is all of the above on any standardized test. So, but listen, shout out to the brother Wayne. Shout out to the brother and tell Wayne to call me too. And we're going to wrap this up, man. So I see everybody coming in. We got some comments we can go over. Don't panic, LeVar, tell him to call you. Shout out to Dr. Dandruff. Y'all go check out his podcast. And Tony Antoine Green, I see you. He just got popped for pimping and pandering. Very funny. Ruth Davis, the Joker's a gump. Good night. That Fast and Furious money is getting low. Yeah, that shit getting, all this shit getting low, man. This game is changing. This game of entertainment is changing before our eyes because the whole purpose of entertainment is nothing more than attention mining. Understand what I'm saying. The bottom line basis of the whole business that surrounds entertaining or entertainment, makes it a business is attention. It is people's attention. When you get the attention, you're able to advertise certain products and run shit across people so you can get their money. That is the bottom line basis of entertainment. I get it. And a lot of times us as entertainers, as artists, you know, as artists, a lot of times we become so, imbued or, you know, we become so caught up in our own egos and we, you know, we say, oh, this art is amazing and this, that, whatever. And we become so blinded by the love and the passion for the art that we close our eyes to the business and then some guy in a suit fucks us over and they steal your ideas and they make all the money as you starve. And this is what happened. This is the bottom line basis of entertainment. So when they say it's a dirty game, it is a dirty game. But I would tell each artist and every person, just own your shit, okay? Own your shit. Own your business and also own your failures. Because that is the greatest opportunity for learning. That is the greatest opportunity for understanding. And that is how you develop into a better person. So as I sit here and do this podcast and come out here and talk every day, I feel that I'm building equity. I'm building equity because I'm able to sit here and talk to the people and the fans. And I'm also building equity because I'm learning. I'm learning a new skill. I'm stepping outside of my comfort zone. And two, I want to say, guys, listen, let me run this banner across here. I'm going to be at the Baltimore Comedy Factory August 18th to the 20th. Please, y'all, pull up on me, man. Get them tickets. Pull up. Check me out. And it should be great, man. So check me out live at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Pull up. If anybody would like to call in, I'm taking call-ins right now. You can call me at 678-310-7139. Let me know how you're feeling. Let me know what's going on. We could talk about Wayne Brady. We could talk about Tyrese. We could talk about any of the things that I talked about today. Shout out to everybody on YouTube watching as well as Facebook. So call me right now. Take a call, 678-310-7139. Let me know how you're feeling. And also, if you can't make it to Baltimore, tell a friend to tell a friend to check me out at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. So, and nobody's calling. This is the shit y'all do. I swear. This is what y'all do. All right. Well, Since nobody's calling, I'm going to wrap this up. And I'm going to wrap this show up. And we're going to come back here tomorrow. We got Friday's show. And then I'm off for the weekend, guys. And, you know, I'll be just grinding and talking about whatever the hell else is going on in society. Okay? So, wait a minute. We got a comment here. We got another comment. Let's see. Got three new comments. All right. See you in Baltimore. A shout out to Travis, man. See you in Baltimore. Annabelle, you didn't miss it. I'm still taking calls. You didn't miss it, Annabelle. You can still call in if you would like. Any of you guys could still call in. Anybody. Man, I'm trying to make this interactive. Call, Annabelle. I don't care. Call that number now. Call that number on the bottom of the screen. I'm going to pick it right up. And we're going to talk. Shit. Call it. The number is scrolling across the screen. It's 678-310-7139. Give me a call, and we can get it in. That's right, 678-310-7139, scrolling at the bottom of the screen. South 343, what's happening, brother? All the way from Augusta, Georgia, the home of the great Dan Brown. Okay, well. I'm going to wrap this up, guys. Listen, this has been a stone cold groove. I had a great time on the day show. Oh, we got
unknown caller. I knew this was going to happen.
And here we go. Here we go with our... Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm coming. I'm coming.
Call from
Annabelle.
Hey, hello? Hey, what's up? Welcome to the LeVar Walker podcast show. What's going on?
Yeah, it's Annabelle. What's up?
Annabelle, what's happening? She really called in, y'all. Shout out to Annabelle Sanchez. How are you doing, Annabelle? You all right?
I'm good. I'm all the way in Dominican Republic, though.
Do you live in the Dominican Republic?
I go back and forth. I'm from New York, so I go back and forth.
Okay, do you have relatives? Are you Dominican? Should I ask that? Is that?
Yes.
You are Dominican. So
my
parents
live here. They retired a long time ago.
Oh, well, good for you.
I was born in New York, though.
Oh, what part of New York?
I'm from Harlem.
Harlem, shout out. I was just in Harlem. Just got back from Harlem. My brother lives in Harlem. So shout out to everybody in Harlem. Man, that's what's up. I appreciate you calling.
You had a good time?
I love her. Man, I loved it, man.
Yeah, I comment on most of your videos. Like, you're just so great.
Yo.
Never retire. I'm going to see you in person, though, when I'm back in the States at a show.
How long are you going to be in the Dominican?
I'm probably going to go back before Christmas. So, like, October, November, I'll be back in the States.
You know, it's very interesting that you visit the Dominican a lot. I have gone to the Dominican. Could you just tell us, what is life like in the Dominican Republic outside of the resorts?
Well, I live in a town. Right. So I'm not in the city, but it's like a wealthy town. So there's a lot of tourism.
Oh, okay.
Like all the rich people have their summer homes here.
Okay.
You know, if you see the police patrolling, they're really looking for somebody. They don't harass you.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's pretty cool.
Food is cheap.
Okay.
Liquor's cheap.
So you're like.
Health insurance is cheap.
So you would be considered in the 1% inside of the Dominican. Right?
Town, the ex-president's daughter's from here. So this town received a lot of like federal money compared to other towns.
Right. So,
it's like one of the favorite places here. So everyone has a summer home here. Like all the senators, all the presidents, the baseball players, that type of stuff.
So what I was just trying to get out of you is what would be typical, what is average life for just an average citizen in the Dominican Republic who
like
lives.
A normal person with like with just a GED, with like just a high school diploma.
Well, just average
I think average working person, because here it's by salary, it's not by hour.
Okay.
So people are usually overworked.
Okay.
So people that work in banks make like 25,000. So 55 is a US dollar. So, you know, it's not. But everyone owns their own home here. Very few people have mortgages, right? So it's like if you own your own home and you just have to pay utilities and food, you don't really have to make that much.
And you don't have to pay taxes.
People like inherit their houses from their parents.
Do you pay taxes on the homes?
It depends how old the house is. Here you own the land and you own the home. Whereas in the U.S., you just own the house and never own the land. So you pay taxes on the land, I think.
Wow. Okay.
Once the home is constructed, it's yours. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
But it's nice out here. A lot of waterfalls, horseback riding.
So for
a lot of tourism, a lot of golf courses.
So for $200,000, what I'm looking at, $200,000 U.S. dollars, what kind of house I'm looking at in the Dominican?
I mean, a lot of people are buying apartments now because they're Airbnb friendly. So you could get like a luxury apartment with like amenities, like a pool and a barbecue and a play area and a security guard, like an armed security guard.
For $200K and what?
Infinity pool, that type of setup. Apartment, yeah. Like a 2 or 3 bedroom and like a very luxury part of the country. And then people would just Airbnb them out.
And what kind of...
So it pays for itself.
What kind of square footage are we talking?
It depends. There's different ones. There's some that are starter apartments. There's some that are more comfortable. And then there's like the really nice, luxury, expensive ones. There's different areas in the country, like Punta Cana, that's on the beach. Where I'm at, it's the mountain. So you get a lot of ecotourism here, like people that like to go camping and hunt, you know, horseback riding. So there's a constant flow of people here just Airbnb-ing because they're not from here.
So for the 200,000,
a lot of family members that do it.
For the 200,000,
you could probably get a small house on the outskirts of town.
Oh, it's not okay.
Like a 2 or 3 bedroom simple house, but the thing is the houses here have a lot of space, so you could have a yard. It's not a small plot.
Man, that's what's up. Well, thank you for that, Annabelle.
But this is more expensive here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you should come. You should come. Message me. You should come. Yeah, Jarabacoa is what it's called.
Yeah.
Where I'm at. Jarabacoa. It's a Taino word for the land of many waters.
Oh, wow.
Because it's all rivers and waterfalls here.
Oh, that's beautiful. So cool. Well, thank you for that, Annabelle. I'm going to get up. Because I got another caller. But thank you. Shout out to Annabelle in the Dominican. Thank you for
that.
Thank you. I'm going to holler, baby. All right. Yep. All right. We got another caller coming in.
Call from
LaVon Rogers.
To accept.
Let's see what we got. Hello. Hello?
Mr. LaVar, I've been waiting to meet you for a while, my brother.
Man, how you doing? What's your name again, brother?
LaVon. It's really strange. I used to fight because people would say I had a girl's name when I was growing up. I'm an older guy.
Oh, so your name...
But I've been watching you since... Go ahead.
Wait, you say your name is LaVon?
Yes.
Wait, that's like LaVar. Shout out to LaVon. Welcome to the LaVar Walker Daily Show podcast, brother. Thank you for calling in,
Hey, man. Hey, let me say this to you. First of all... You're very brave in the business that you're in and, you know, risking saying something that is not what everybody's saying. You know, you're not jumping on any bandwagons. And I just watch people. I live in Los Angeles. And let me say, my mother wanted to be in show business back in the 30s. And... It's not easy. It's not an easy business. And I noticed that comedians especially have issues with people who say things to them. And you seem to just let that go. And you seem to stay focused on what it is. Now, I just saw what you said about Wayne Brady. Does it really matter that he really, whatever is paying, I don't know, I never heard that word before, and I live right here in L.A. all my life, and this pan, and it seems like what you're saying, somebody's trying to tell him, say, do this, and then you might get better work. I have relatives that work in the business. Some of them are, you know, carpenters, and they work for the studios. And they tell me all the time, this is so normal now that everybody's looking for something to latch on to. What happened with Wayne Brady? Was he ever, where is he, what is he? I don't get it. I don't understand why he had to do this.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. So what has happened in the entertainment industry is total disruption. With the internet, with all this digital real estate that's out, you know, people like now you just have to, you know, you have to pretty much be consistent with your podcast. And, you know, I do the videos, I do this, I do that. And it's just a different day, bro. Like, I don't really, like, I want to build everything myself. I want, you know, I believe in ownership, creation, just owning everything. Now, back in his day, you know, back in the day before all this technology, it was extremely difficult because you had even more gatekeepers, right? Now a guy could just blow up on YouTube and you got to go kiss his ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a game of, yo, I'm going to catch the bus to L.A. and I'm going to be a big movie star. Those days are gone. That shit is over with. Nobody cares, bro. Nobody is watching half of the shit that's out anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you think about it.
I understand.
Yeah, like, so.
I told you, I got to say this to you, man. I never heard anybody say that they don't give a fuck in the business. That's what I'm saying to you.
Right, but it's like, when you look at so I got into comedy because I love to tell jokes. I love to create jokes and I love to entertain people. And I do, when I'm performing at a headlining a show, right? You know, my job is to partner with that comedy club and get some asses in those seats, get my fan base to come out, and then my fan base who patronize their establishment while watching me. You get what I'm saying? So previously, back in the day, like in the early 80s or 90s, you know, a guy like me, I go kill on Johnny Carson and I get a sitcom, and now my life has changed. Now I you know, I'm selling theaters. I'm selling out everywhere I go. But those days are long gone and they're never coming back. You see what I'm saying? And so now with the industry being at a standstill, where you have the WGA strike, the SAG after strike, the whole industry is shut down. So most of the people that, you know, have been relying, that are deep in the bellies of Hollywood and relying on those checks, they have to figure something else out. And I would just tell any entertainer, whoever today, just build your own. I just believe it's just something noble in that. And I'm like an asshole by nature. I don't try to be, but it comes from my father. And I have to own my own shit because I don't like walking on eggshells or being pretentious. I got to play this fucking game. I don't like that shit, bro. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing my little podcast, and it's growing, and I love it. Like, I love just building and creating and just doing what I do, man. Straight up. Like, it's just a different day. You don't listen. Like, for instance, like, what is your day? When you wake up, what's the first thing you do when you wake up? You look at the phone. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the typical day. Of the consumer, the typical day of a consumer, you grab the phone, right?
And exactly.
And you look at what? You might scroll on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, even if you're watching television.
My messages first. See what did I miss? And I don't jump up during the night and look, see what's going on. I don't do that any longer. I'm a retired guy, so I'm not trying to fall down. I'm I'm over 60 years old. How's that? Does that tell you anything?
Okay.
I'm not trying to get in the business anymore. I'm not about that anymore. But when I see someone who's telling the truth, I'm wondering, I say, is he risking, does he know that he's risking the backlash, especially in Hollywood, especially in LA, especially where this entertainment industry is dominant? You can't go too many places and tell the truth. You got a grin in people's face. And I heard what you said. I see what you said. I'm wondering, did something happen, or were you always this way? I've been watching your posts, and you're just a regular guy. You're talking to a guy, man.
I've been doing comedy 20 years. As I was doing comedy, I worked a job simultaneously. You know, I've been out of pharmacy for about two years now. You see what I'm saying? So I was just always in the shit of like figuring everything out on my own. I ain't trying to beg. I ain't trying to, you know, jump through the hoops of fire. I like all my relationships to be organic. I like that shit to be real. I don't need to align myself with you with some type of motive. You get what I'm saying? Like, I just like it to be organic. We vibe. If we don't, we don't. And I also like to walk in truth. So, I mean, that's where I stand. And you know what, dude? Like, I know you were saying, like, the people, and I don't really worry about that because, you know, doing the videos, doing the podcast, being on Facebook, I cater to the people that mess with me. All right. If you mess with me, we together. I'm not worried about trying to get somebody to like me. I don't really, you know what I'm saying? And it is not, you know, there are people that don't like me that are disgusted. They're probably disgusted by the sight of me and my voice. They don't think I'm funny. And I'm perfectly fine with that because that is their, they have that right not to. And that's great. You know what I'm saying? My only thing is I'm just happy you feel something for me, whether that be positive or negative. I'm just happy you feel.
You don't have a fear of rejection, is what you're saying.
No.
No fear of rejection.
I don't really. No, bro. No.
Okay, good.
I don't really care. I don't fear rejection. I don't fear ostracism because I done been through some shit in the game. So once you hit those blocks, you just like, I don't really give a fuck. Like, I'm not about to sit up here and try to do backflips for no motherfucker to like me. I don't fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, I just say, you don't like me, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? We gonna go our separate way. I'm not about to sit here and try to goddamn, please be my friend. Like, no, bro, I don't vibe like that. I just talk my shit. You know what I'm saying? So that's just what it is, brother. So
So I just wanted to say, you said something the other day. I saw a post, and you saw it was some wretchedness, and it was just beyond. And every few weeks, somebody pops up and does this, what I consider, I'm an old guy. It's nasty. It's just totally, even if you were to just say it, it's beyond the scope of what I would say that's entertainment. Maybe it is for some people because I've been told by my family, you're an old guy and you don't, you know, you're not listening to what the young people are saying. And so what, a girl wants to show her ass? And this is family member. I said, you know, told a young lady, and I'm going to leave it alone when I say this. She was showing her body and it's on her post. And I thought, because I'm an older guy, a relative, I could tell her, say, cousin, you don't have to do that. And she told me, she says, I'm living my best life and I can show whatever. And people were backing it up. She was half showing her tail. And I thought, what has happened while I was watching? And everybody seems to be going in the same direction. But that part of what happens in LA, everything moves in a direction and everybody jumps on it, and next thing you know, it becomes normalized, and then you'll see it on TV, and then you'll hear Wayne Brady say some outrageous st- up, and everybody's doing it now. This is what is happening, and I heard you, and I'm going to stop talking and let you finish saying what you wanted to say.
Well, you know, that's interesting you bring that up. I think, like, you know, we have a lot of freedoms in the U.S., and I'm going to say this. I just feel like you got to understand, too, man, we in a time now, man, where down is up, left is right. 2 + 2 = 7. So you can't really wrap your mind around the disorder or all this shit that makes absolutely no sense. Even when I watch my son, you know, like if he on YouTube and he would just watch kids play with toys and be entertained by that. And I'm like, you don't want to go play with your own toys? And these videos just rack millions and millions of views, right? So I think the thing is, it's like, hey, show your ass, do whatever you want to do. And I think as a society, society tend to go one direction and then swing another direction. So right now we're in this thing where women, you know, cool. You know, shout out to all the women, you want to express yourselves sexually, you don't particularly care about family or being with anybody, that's cool. Do you, right? But there, you know, with everything, there's always a consequence to it, right? So when you grow old and alone, and you know what I mean, it could turn out to be sad for a lot. You know what I mean? And I'm not gonna sit here and try to, you know, tell women what they should or should not do. I would just say, y'all, you know, keep your eyes open and discernment and just be happy. Fuck, I don't know, bro. I really think we're about to go into a time where we're going to see people dating animals. I think that is the next big wave, is bestiality, where, and this is how it's going to go down. Let me tell you what's going to happen probably in the next 10 years. There's going to be a guy that goes to an expensive restaurant with a dog. He's going to have a big fucking collie or some type of dog. And a waiter is going to go, sir, we don't allow animals in a restaurant. And then he's going to go, who are you calling an animal? This is my wife. Okay? And there are going to be thousands and thousands or hundreds of thousands of people that come out into the light and say, hey, I've been married to my animal. I'm so glad that there's somebody else out here fucking these animals other than me. And for you to say that we shouldn't be allowed to fuck and marry our animals, who are you? And it's going to be a big thing, and people are going to lose their jobs because they're going to go against people that are for bestiality. This is where we're going. And all we can do is just sit back and eat popcorn, brother. Okay? And laugh. Okay? This is it. No judgment. Hey, do you. That's where we at right now. So I see the writing on the wall. And, you know, I'm a comedian. I'm a clown. And it's just, hey, it's what it is, bro. It's what it is. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you cleared that up. And you don't have to agree with me. We can still be friends. We can still talk. And I wish that more people would like that. It seems to be a trend that whatever Hollywood or celebrities say, it seems to be the thing to go. The latest tattoo, the latest who you've been having sex. I mean, who cares? Let's be entertained, and we don't have to see all what you know. I don't get it. I heard you. You're quite clear with what you say, and you would be surprised the number of people my age, and this is all we talk about when we see wretchedness in especially the African American. After all we've been through, we go right to the lowest level, and the lower we go, it seems like that's what people are attracted to. And I just thought I wanted to share that with you, brother. You're not by yourself. It's just that we can't say nothing. You don't want to risk anything. You don't want to do too much. You don't want to turn your relatives against you. But this is real, and it's out there, and I've been told by more than once, you know, leave the people alone, let them do what they. I'm not harming anybody. You put it in my face, so I feel I got a right to say something to you. That's right.
And you should. I mean, look, you spoke yours. They showed their ass. Hey, it's what it is. You didn't hurt nobody. You know what I'm saying? And you know, this over sensitive, this sensationalizing of, you hurt my feelings. Oh, like, it's just fucking, really? Like, are you dying right now? Because I said I didn't like your shirt. It's like, it's just very, very weird. So we're in some very interesting times, to say the least. So,
okay.
But thank you for calling
in, brother.
Okay,
I'm glad, my brother.
Thank you for calling
in. All right. See you. Nothing but success for you, my brother. Nothing but success.
All right, brother. Thank you, man. Thank you so much, man. One more time. Thank you, bro. And listen, so I just wrapped that call up. That was a great conversation. And I forgot to plug in my Ethernet, but I guess this is coming through okay. So we're going to wrap this up. This has been another episode of LeVar Walker Daily Show podcast. I want to thank each and every one of you guys for tuning in, and I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great evening.